In the world of business, profit is everything.
Those that are not profitable are condemned from memory.
And the most important business of all is watching anime.
Welcome back to the Weekly Anime Performance Review, the show where we review performance of anime on a weekly basis. I am John, your CEO of Weebs.
I am Chris, and Weathering With You was robbed at the Oscars.
I am Andrew, the CEO of Purposefully Getting Rejected.
What?
What?
Do you not remember the animes we watched this week?
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
That was the first one I watched. It's been a bit.
Okay.
That was the third one I watched.
I remember the shows we watched.
I'm gonna be.
Are you sure we're qualified for this?
No, no.
Listen, the only way to become qualified for anything is to just do it until people believe you're qualified to do it. We are now down to six anime. We're nearly to having half of our original 10 remaining. And we're kind of getting into the part of the season where it gets tougher because we've kind of gotten rid of everything that's kind of in our lower tier, and so we're just left with the goodies now, and it's going to be harder to decide between them. Speaking of the goodies, first up on our list is Hands Off of Eizouken. In this episode, a lot of production went on their robot project. First, there was a meeting with the sound club and with the art club to handle the sound effects and backgrounds.
Well,
and what's that?
To be fair, the meeting with the sound club wasn't really a meeting as much as a threatening.
They met with the sound club.
All right.
and then Asakusa had a crisis of confidence that Kanemori solved by being aggressively wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this show, it's very wholesome, actually. Like, and this is one of the more wholesome episodes, I thought, in its own weird way. And it's always weird that, like, Kanemori is kind of the center of that, almost.
Yeah.
Like, she knows how to motivate her artists really well in a way that doesn't really tear them down, which I think is an interesting character dynamic.
Yeah.
She's kind of like the model of what a producer should be.
Right, well, and she wants us to succeed, but what she says is that she cares about it getting done. But if it's going to be good or bad, that's up to them. And that ultimately, like, she wants it to be done. I'm sure she wants it to be good so that way, you know, people will like it and look at more business. But I think she also secretly, or, you know, not so secretly, does want it to succeed because she wants her friends to succeed, you know? Yeah. Because if not, why would she do this? There's way better ways to make money.
I think it is quite possible that Kanemori secretly is like several layers of tsundere and actually cares a lot about this production.
Yeah, that's quite possible.
We can tell that she cares, and she's so good. What can we say about it at this point that we haven't said already?
They're going to turn the whole school into an anime production.
I mean, anime has taken at the school, yeah.
Eventually, they're going to get every club involved. Yeah. Also, I love some of the clubs that they have at this school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The sound effects club, which is just one guy and his four-room large sound effect library.
There was that, it was like the carbohydrates, like, revolution or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was great. Because it makes sense, because you're like, well, why is there an anime club, a movie club, and a... Like, there's a something else club, I think.
Yeah.
So that's why they had to be the movie club. But it's like, why are there so many different clubs? Oh, because that's just how the school is. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that they said in the last episode that the giant robot club has been around since the 19th century.
I feel like this would be the school from Kill la Kill without clothes. I mean, with clothes.
Without
they're wearing
life
clothes.
Fibers.
But without, yes.
Yeah.
I feel like it's yeah, that I, same I kind of like.
I can kind of see that, yeah.
Yeah. I did also love when Midoriya was like, oh, we should have it be a buggy instead of a robot. And she started doing like the storyboard for it. And the music started. And then
Kanemori was just like,
no. I thought that was great.
I also liked the whole, like, you can't satisfy everyone.
Mm-hmm. So make a project you're satisfied with.
Yeah.
That was nice. I do like that.
I also like how I feel like everyone is kind of slipping into their roles, with like Kaminari being the producer, Mizusaki being the animator, and Asukasa being the director.
So they've kind of settled into that pattern.
Yeah.
Well, they've also got they also got Asukasa. That's a hard name to say.
Yeah.
Midori doing some of the storyboards as well.
Yeah.
And she can't draw action.
I think that's also like more of a director thing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Well, usually you have a person whose job it is to make the storyboards. Yeah. Obviously they don't have those kind of resources, but
yeah.
Yeah, and she did step up because they had to meet with the art club for them to draw some backgrounds, and she did step up a bit. It was mm-hmm. a bit rough.
Mm-hmm.
But she managed to, you know, come out a bit and like direct someone else, which she's super not comfortable with.
Yeah.
Right now the least interesting of them is Model Girl, but I think
she also hasn't been the focus.
Yeah, for a few episodes. She needs a focus episode.
Yeah, she was the focus a bit on the beginning, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's kind of faded out a bit.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Can't focus on all of them all the time.
Right, and I think the thing is that right now she's not having any problems. Which is, you know, like, this was a bit more like, it showed that Kanemori was really working hard for this. And then also showed that Midori was like, had a bit of trouble with motivation, but that you just gotta press buttons until you find the right one to get her going, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's less press the right buttons and more just wait long enough and then she'll be motivated. Well, I vote to retain this show.
I vote to retain this show.
Yeah, voting to retain.
Still good. Still an easy contender for one of the best of the season. It's just very consistently amazing.
I mean, is it even worth saying it's a contender? Like, at this point.
I mean,
like, it's just,
we got some other stuff that's way up there.
Okay.
At least for me.
Next up on our list is Bofuri. In this episode, they met Katana Girl and almost had a cool fight. Then they fell into quicksand, did a little dungeon, and got some more equipment. After that, they did a big kraken fight that actually wasn't much of a fight. And the event ended at the end of the episode. I did like what Maple used her skill for.
I'm tired of Hydra being the solution to everything.
Yeah.
Kind
of... When all you have is a hammer, every problem is a nail.
Yeah.
Hydra is kind of get out of everything free card.
Yeah.
I did think the way that she used Hydra in this episode was funny, but yeah, it's kind of starting to wear a little thin. That's just like, oh, Hydra, that's the move. That's the move.
Yeah, I feel like the fact that she's relying so much on that one skill would be easy for the devs to
nerf it.
Yeah.
Really, she should be. They should limit Hydra to a number of times per combat or per day, more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and like, she got poison resistance really easily, but other people didn't.
Yeah. Like, because I feel like if poison resistance were that easy to get, more people would have it.
Yeah, she got it in a day.
Like, she just kind of stood in the Hydra fight and drank potions.
I will say, I do like the trope of the fact that when they all found quicksand together, you know, they had to work together because they were bound together, and if one died, they all died. I like that.
Yeah.
That was good. And it was a good use of skill and them making friends and stuff. And it does show that Maple's real special ability is her ability to make friends. Let's face it.
Aw. But yeah, you're right.
It totally is.
Yeah, I like the dynamic of all of them. It's just that the problem is that the one that gets the most focus is the least interesting.
Yeah.
I did like the scene of Sally just murdering everyone. That was
that was good.
Yeah.
And I did like the little montage. I felt like that was enough of a, oh, look at this cool world, but without having to go into too much detail, you know, when they were collecting all the different medals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Although I felt like the first half of this episode was a bit too fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like maybe. They introduced two new characters, and I think the boy with the cube is going to come. The boy with the cube.
I thought that was a girl.
That was a girl.
I was a girl. Okay.
Oh yeah, she was in this episode, wasn't she?
Yeah. I think she's gonna have her own episode later. But like, this was a time for them to look at the samurai and get a bit of background. But
yeah.
They didn't.
Like it was. Yeah. It felt just kind of like we're gonna fight each other. Now we're best friends.
Yeah, and here's this person that will come back later on in the anime. Remember them. That's what it felt like.
Yeah, and we've already had a lot of Maple and Sally. I think it's kind of time to shake up the dynamic a little bit, and this episode could have done more with that, and it didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you mentioned this, but I did like that she got her turtle to get really big and then made it levitate.
Yeah, that was fun.
And that's... Yeah, that was... Yeah.
And how, like, all... I liked how all the devs were like, oh man, these characters are really cool, except for the one who's like, we need to fix Maple.
They're like, nope, ignoring it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is how most gamers think devs work.
Yeah. I think it's, they're trying to figure out a way to fix her, and they're like, at this point, we don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I like one of my favorite game devs is Katsuhiro Harada, who is the lead guy on Tekken. He's just taken to saying "Don't ask me for shit," and even wearing shirts that say that because people complain him about Tekken stuff so much. Anyway, I guess we're good to vote.
Yeah.
All right. I'm actually going to fire this week just because this is kind of a Chris style fire in that. I don't dislike anything that I've seen. I'm just kind of done. I would not be devastated if I didn't have to watch the next episode. I feel like I've kind of gotten a feel for it, and I don't think I really need to see that much more.
I'd say I vote to fire, but a bit more negative. I feel like this episode wasn't that good. And I don't really think the show would get much better.
Yeah, well, I have to fire as well, because, like, if... I felt like this anime was going to be Maple building up a party or something, you know? But...
Well,
I think it might be.
Even if it is...
way too slow of a burn on that.
Right, yeah. I know, and that's what I think would be interesting. There are different dynamics and how they can interact with each other, but at this point, I don't need to see anymore.
All right. That is a 3-fire for... Bofuri, which up to this point we've liked pretty well. So now we're kind of getting deep into the season and we're having to make some tough choices.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, almost all the animes that we're still watching, I could binge watch the entire season if it was out. I feel. But it's like, at this point...
this is just kind of frustrating to watch week to week.
Right. Yeah.
Next up on our list is Toilet Bound Hanako-kun, or Poltergeist. In this episode, we encountered the confession tree, learned a little bit more about Yashiro's feelings. We met Ko's older brother, who is actually the boy from the first episode, and I was almost right. And we got a little more insight into our creepy people from the end of last episode. And we got a setup for the next mystery. I like this episode. It's kind of a lunar interlude between our last big arc and probably what's going to be another one.
Yeah.
After this. But it was kind of two shorter vignettes. First, we got this one where they dealt with the confession tree and Yashiro was sad about that. And then the second half was kind of setting up the next thing where she wants to actually learn something about poor Hanako and gets duped into visiting the spooky library.
Well, I will say, I think it's worth mentioning that Yashiro doesn't like Hanako, or at least says she doesn't.
Yeah.
But then was upset that he wasn't confessing to her, but then freaked out because he was going to confess. But then, like, she doesn't know where she stands with him. And she doesn't know where he stands with her, I think.
I think so. But also, this is the first time that he really displayed any actual concern for others. Like, yeah. After this point, he's been kind of, you know, just doing his own thing. But he actually displayed some empathy when she started crying. He actually said, all right, let me stay with you and fix this mess I've caused. I thought was interesting. He's actually gotten a little bit of development. And usually you don't see more than one or two characters get development in a season of an anime. So that's kind of refreshing.
Yeah. I mean, he is one of...
He is the title character.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean he gets development.
That's fair.
We've got a really neat dynamic now with Ko and his brother. Because Ko is, you know, he's come to kind of respect the spirits a little bit now that he's hung out with Hanako. His brother has not had that same experience, and so he is still expecting his brother to go kill him. So that's going to come to a head. That's going to be interesting.
Right. Yeah. Well, it kind of falls into that idea of, if X is bad, then all of X is bad. Which isn't true.
And
mostly. I mean, in general, for people, definitely not true.
And I don't even think that the show is setting up
the
spirits are bad. I think it's just that the spirits get misguided sometimes, and so they have to fix them.
Right. Well, and here's the thing. The idea is that the spirits have to follow the rumors. And so if I make a rumor that, hey, this spirit kills people, that spirit has to kill people.
Yeah.
And it's not the spirit's fault. But I think the exorcists don't. They're like, well, we'll just kill the spirit, deal with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then I think there's going to be a bit of a revolution, at least among these characters. Like, well, we can just change the rumors instead of having to kill them.
Yeah.
Which I think is good.
Mm-hmm. Also, something that John left out at the end of the episode. Hanako is there.
Mm-hmm. Evil Hanako.
Yeah.
Which maybe our Hanako is fake. Maybe this one's fake. Well, maybe no.
Maybe.
One's...
Evil Hanako's at the end of the OP.
I'm thinking maybe the reason why Hanako's not just like a rampaging murderer is because he was split in half or something.
Maybe.
You know? Because it said he killed people.
The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway situation.
Sure.
Well, just because he killed people doesn't mean he's like a...
No, but they made it seem like he was like a serial murderer or something.
Yeah.
Well, they implied he'd done something pretty nasty and he's like working his way out of it now.
But right. It could also be it was a one-time nasty thing that like was a greater good sort of situation.
I guess.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't think Hanako is as innocent as tries to appear.
There's only one way to find out. I vote to retain because I want to see what the resolution of this is.
I also vote to retain.
I vote to retain as well. By the way, it's worth mentioning, this is where purposely getting rejected comes from because that's what Hanako wanted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've mostly been talking kind of plot stuff, but again, this show continues to be very nice looking.
Yeah.
Everything we've said still applies, you know, with kind of the manga style and the nice thick bold outlines. Love a good outline.
I don't know if we've said this on here, but the OP gives me big JoJo energy.
Really?
Yeah. Like I think it's the chain shot where like the shadow Hanako's holding him.
Yeah, maybe. I'll need to watch it again.
I will say that maybe shot is pretty like sketchy.
All right, next up on our list is Asteroid in Love. In this episode, cultural festival time. Our club members each contributed their part. The geology girls got their boring sample from the baseball field, and the astronomy girls tried out the snacks that had been provided by Suzu, who somehow got roped into helping their club.
Suzu's practically part of the club.
She's practically part of the Earth Sciences Club at this point. We got kind of spammed with new characters in this episode.
I don't think they're really like characters. I think it was just, everybody's families are here.
It's crazy, though, because it was a slice of life anime where we saw people's parents.
I mean, that's not that uncommon.
I know. It's a meme. But yes, we saw Mira's parents and Sakurai's little sister, who seems to be a little scamp. And we learned more about why Monroe wants to be an astronaut, because her older sister, grandmother.
Really older sister.
talks about wanting to go to the moon, which I thought was nice. Yeah, I still like this one.
But it's, you missed the most important part.
Tell me, Andrew.
Eno's president now.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The two seniors stepped down and now Eno's president. The question of who's going to be vice president is still up in the air. Thank you for keeping me honest, Andrew.
Yeah, I'm like, that's like,
that was a big
the character development part. Yeah.
That was the end of the episode.
I will say also in the ED, I noticed that there's seven girls standing and none of them are Suzu. So there's two more characters. So they might, the show might go between school years.
Maybe it'll go next school year and they'll be sophomores and there'll be new freshmen that join.
Right. That's kind of,
they'll just have two girls join before.
That's
also possible. But they kind of need to pull the trigger on introducing those characters if they're going to do it this season.
I mean,
I guess it's only halfway, but still.
Yeah.
Oh, the newspaper girl showed up again.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of recurring, like, side characters, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, the beginning of this episode just didn't do for me. It was so boring.
What, you mean the getting the boring sample?
I think that's a pun.
Yeah, no, I thought it was pretty good.
Andrew, if there wasn't a state line between us right now.
I mean, it's only 4 hours.
I have work tomorrow.
Well, cross that state line, you coward.
Time.
I don't have time to drive 4 hours, hide a body, and then drive 4 hours back.
Hide me yourself, you coward.
He's not even. You're not even going to kill him. You're just going to hide his body.
I'll hide him at the bottom of a river while still alive.
I did enjoy that scene and how it showed that Sakurai kind of thought, people just thought she was like weird.
Yeah.
But they actually seem somewhat interested in what she's doing and all that, you know?
Wow. That like kind of resonated with me as someone whose internal voice tells him all the time that everyone hates everything that I talk about forever. That kind of resonated with me that, you know, people, you assume that people think your interests are lame, but you can just ask.
Right.
Yeah.
So I like the show still. It's still giving me what I want. Even if it's kind of light, I still like it. It's what I wanted from it.
Yeah, I enjoyed this.
So I'm going to vote
more than the previous one. Yeah, I'm retaining as well.
I'm voting to fire.
Okay.
It's still not really doing it for me.
All right. Next up on our list is, gotta remember what we fired. Rikikoi. Science fell in love, so I tried to prove it. In this episode, the Ikeda Lab had a drinking party, which is a lot of fun because everyone got super drunk except for Yukimura, who abstains from alcohol.
That's because drinking is bad.
No, I think he only abstained this time because he wanted to observe everyone else.
No, he was just like, alcohol's bad.
Yeah, like that. Okay. He said alcohol dulls your mental functions and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't just, oh yeah, I want to watch people be drunk. It was, I don't think drinking is good.
So, Himuro got all lovey-dovey with him. Tarasuke regressed to his first grade self. The professor fell asleep, and Kanade got mad at the main couple for not being the main couple already. Kanade is the audience in every romance anime.
Yeah. Although I feel like this one is a bit more understandable for being mad.
Yes.
Because in other ones, they're just stupid and don't tell each other. This one is, they've both told each other. They just refuse to believe it.
Mm-hmm. But have they both told each other?
I don't know if Yukimura said it, but I feel like at this point it's implied.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't doubt it, but I don't think he said it outright.
Yeah.
Does build a bit also on Tarasuke about how it's kind of obvious that him and
Ibarada
are gonna get together. They're in some sort of,
they're destined to become the B couple.
Yeah. That leaves Kanade with Muscle Professor.
I don't like that.
I mean, she does have a thing for his marriage.
What was the science bear this episode? I know there was one.
Talked about the prime number drinking game.
Oh yeah.
Which was pretty stupid because then he didn't explain stuff about prime numbers.
Yeah.
Oh, I did like Yukimura getting on Kanade about how cool prime numbers are. Or was it Himuro? One of them got on her about how. Or was it both of them?
I don't remember.
I think it was both.
Anyway, there was a big speech given about how awesome prime numbers are. And I'm inclined to agree, because the more a number is prime, the less you can do with it, and I hate doing things with numbers.
And then what's the second half of the episode, John?
The second half of the episode... Oh, it was retellings of fairy tales. I really should write this down more, but... It was retellings of fairy tales, but with Yukimura and Himuro in place of the two main protagonists. So first we got Cinderella, where Yukimura was outed as a foot fiend because he collected DNA samples from every lady in the kingdom, and it was able to find Cinderella that way. Then we saw two Japanese fairy tales, first being Kaguya Hime, which I had heard of before, and the crane returning the favor, which I hadn't heard of.
I've heard of that one, I think.
I feel like I've heard of it, I just don't remember it.
I think someone did a big fancy animated movie based on Kaguya Hime recently.
Well,
I mean,
you know that Kaguya-sama, all the I think at least her name is from that myth.
I could believe it.
Or like it's confirmed.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Then I definitely believe it. I like that second half too. Even though it didn't, it felt a little fillery, but it was fun filler.
Yeah.
Like, well,
I feel like the whole anime is filler.
What do you mean?
Like, it's not really a connected plot from episode to episode.
Yeah, I guess
they don't really do anything.
That was kind of when they were doing the date part of it.
Yeah.
But it kind of had a framing narrative of them trying to use fairy stories to find some sort of mathematical proof of love.
Yeah.
I found that the parts I like the most are where they're not caring about finding the proof of love or not.
Yeah.
I found that what I like best is when they're just being themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't care too much for the main plot of this anime. Like, I don't care for them to accomplish their goal. I just want to see them do stuff. That makes sense. Like, I like the drinking party because it was them just hanging out together, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. The drinking party was one of my favorite segments of the whole show. I thought that was a lot of fun. I vote to retain.
I vote to retain.
I'm gonna retain this one.
Last up on our list is Somali and the Forest Spirit, which had some interesting developments this week. Somali and Golem arrived in a new town and met... Oh god, their names.
Uzoi and Haitora.
Yeah, Haitora and Uzoi. Uzoi is a harpy, and Haitora is a birdman who's secretly not a birdman and actually a human. He has some kind of grievous medical condition, and Uzoi believes that Somali's blood is what is necessary to cure him, which is going to come to a head in the next episode.
Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily even a cure, but I think it'll buy him time, is the idea.
Yeah.
No, she said she thinks it'll cure him, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I doubt that it'd work.
The idea is that it's human blood that'll work, right? Like, that's... Mm-hmm.
That's what she thinks. Whether that's true, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So next episode is going to be about Golem and Haitora trying to stop Uzoi.
Do you think they'll succeed?
Yes.
I think so. Chris.
Yes.
Jeez.
No, just episode 5, show ends.
Yeah.
Is it 5 or... I think it's 5?
This is 5, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it'll probably end with them forgiving Uzoi, and then they'll just become a traveling band together.
Yeah, I could see that, for sure.
I did like how they drew parallels between Uzoi and Haitora and Golem and Somali.
Yeah.
And how it's not quite the same, because I think Uzoi and Haitora are, like, in a relationship.
I think Uzoi might have feelings.
Non-reciprocated feelings.
Yeah. It's not father-daughter, but it's very much like...
Yeah, they're closer to being equals.
Right.
Yeah.
About how, like, this person saved them and is traveling with them, and they'd feel lost without him. But then Uzoi feels like she has to.
Right. And so the similarity of their dynamic, I think, is what's going to redeem Uzoi by the end of next episode.
Yeah.
I also loved kind of the setting, the desert they crossed in this episode with all, like, the sand sea creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's sand, but it's more like an ocean than, like,
yeah,
a desert.
It's a sand ocean.
I'm kind of a sucker for ocean creatures where they aren't supposed to be in fantasy stories. Like, I love space whales and stuff like that. So this was cool for me.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, it was always, like, design, I think, is great.
Yeah, she looks really cool.
She's supposed to be a harpy and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, this show, like, even when it introduces, like, a pre-established kind of monster, it goes out of its way to present it differently than just, like, the standard kind of design, which I think is neat. Every, like, you wouldn't mistake this harpy for a harpy for another anime or something like that.
Yeah.
Which I think is cool.
I also noticed that normally none of the dads move their mouths.
Oh.
Because, like, Kaitora normally wears the mask, Golem doesn't move his mouth, and then Kikula's dad, his mouth doesn't move when he talks.
It doesn't?
It's because I think the idea is that the mouth is, like, down, so you can't see it.
Like, it might be twitching there, but it's not really, like...
Yeah, I guess so.
Did we see Hitora's mouth move when his mask was off?
Yeah, we did.
Well, when it was off, it does, but, like, when he has...
Yeah, because he's a human.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this show is continuing to be incredibly imaginative and gorgeous just to look at. In addition to being a very sweet story, and though this episode kind of ended on a, oh, God, where is it going from here note.
Well, yeah, but two episodes that did that, too.
Yeah, I guess it. Yeah, I guess this show is kind of settling into a pattern of cliffhangers.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind.
I mean, cliffhangers work.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
And, like, this cliffhanger was, like, I, like, when the credits showed up, I was like, no, stop. You can't do that to me.
I was, like, already? Like, I was surprised. It didn't feel like it was 20 minutes already.
The most mad I've ever been at credits showing up. Speaking of, I gotta see what happens next. I vote to retain for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna retain. I'm not as spirited about y'all as, or I'm not as spirited about this as y'all are, but I'm still enjoying it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this show is a lot of the reason why I'm not enjoying Bofuri or Asteroids as much.
It's just doing that same thing better.
Yeah. Because, like, when I'm watching this, there'll just be a bunch of different moments that, like something will just happen and I'll be like, oh, man, that's pretty cool.
Cute. Yeah.
And also, like, Somali is easily the most moe creature to grace this season of anime.
Yes.
Okay.
And I retain.
That's three retains for Somali and the Forest Spirit, the one a bit hesitant from Andrew. So now we've gotten through all of the anime that we watch for this week, and Bofuri is in last place with three fires. So
looks like that's the end of Maple's story.
Ooh, maybe it should have found a way to protect its job status. You're fired, Bofuri. Go find employment elsewhere.
More like no furries.
Bofuri's nuts.
Bofuri's nuts. That was my joke. First week, wasn't it?
I've actually been meaning to say the Maple story joke since week one. I just kept forgetting.
So you squeezed it in before you wouldn't get to talk about it again.
Well, like at like week three, I was like, I'm just going to say it when we fire it.
Mm-hmm. So, anything else to do before we wrap up?
So next week, I'm going to do a, like, going over some of the other shows this season.
Right.
So if there's a specific show you want me to talk about, tell us at the hashtag WapperCast. And
reviewers.
So I guess I'll talk about that one a little bit. And make sure to follow us at WapperCast on Twitter to get updates on when we post. And you can also find us anywhere podcasts are found.
So, yeah. One last thing before we go. Recently, Team 4-Star came out and announced that they were ending their monumental Dragon Ball Z abridged series after 60 episodes. And 12 years of progress. It's pretty amazing. They started in 2008 when I would have been 12, and now I'm 23. So that's pretty astounding. They've been doing that for half my life. Anyway, without that series and some of its compatriots, I likely would not be as interested in anime as I am. So if you haven't seen that series, go watch An Absolute Legend. If you have, go stan the creators, because they're still absolute legends.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say my piece on how much that show meant to me. Anyway, this has been your Whappercast for this week. I'm John, the CEO of Weebs.
I'm Chris. Weathering With You was robbed at the Oscars.
And I'm Andrew, the CEO of Purposefully Getting Rejected.
And we'll see you next week when we have 5 shows remaining. Have a good night.